Well, it came as quite a surprise, but maybe one day the hour will come so surprisingly upon us as well. And then it means to be ready. To be ready and to go in with him. Although I myself have not prepared a word, I would like to read a scripture that I have just read at home. Actually, I didn't read it to be read here, but I read it and I read it here again. I would like to read from Galatians 4, from verse 6. Galatians 4, from verse 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Maybe up to here, this word of God. I think this man of God, Paul, he writes here to the Galatians these words, but I think they were not only important for them in those days, but they are important in our days as well. And it is good when we know what we once were, when we know that we were servants of sin, that we were subjugated and served the devil and all that was there. But by the grace of God, we know that we have been redeemed and that we are no longer servants of sin or anything, but we have become sons of God. Yes, and indeed, we may cry out, Abba, Father. No one, brothers and sisters, can cry out like this or pray from the bottom of his heart, like a true son. He knows how to call upon the Father. He knows how to ask. He knows to whom he is speaking. And so it has become with us. We know in whom we believe. We know to whom we pray. And we know to whom we have entrusted ourselves. We know to whom we belong. And so we see it is no longer dead gods or idols that we serve, as we had done before, but we serve the living God. Yes, the God who has loved us, who has called us, who has sought us, who has called us, who has pulled us out of all that we were in, and he has made us his heirs. And therefore we may rejoice. Here it says, but if you are a son, you are also an heir through God. Brothers and sisters, this is a fact. Even though we may not have anything to show here on earth, but we know one thing, our inheritance has become certain. Our inheritance with our God. That's how it is written here. Paul says it. But if you are a son, you are also an heir through God. And that makes us glad. That makes us happy. Of course, people boast in these days and think of themselves, they have everything, that they have the greatest inheritances that exist on earth. But what good are they to us? We know they all perish. But the inheritance that we receive, brothers and sisters, is an inheritance which is eternal and which is above, where neither moss nor rust nor anything else is, but an inheritance prepared for us by God. And that's why we are glad in our hearts. And people who don't understand, who haven't had an experience with God, they can't understand why we can rejoice, why we can exalt, why we can worship, why we can open our mouths. Because of what the heart is full, the mouth speaketh. After all, we don't pray to dead idols. Those who had no experience with God, they will be angry, they will be offended by this and that. But those understand it, who have experienced it with God, and who have had this experience, and that's why it is necessary that all of us have this experience with God, and that we can enter with Him, that we become His son or His daughter, that we receive the inheritance, not what a man gives us on this earth, but what is prepared for us there in that glory. Brothers and sisters, there is joy because we know the great inheritance I will soon receive. Even here on earth, I am nothing, as the song goes. Of course, people may say, what are you? I am nothing on earth, but there is an inheritance prepared for me. Glory be to our God. To Him be the honor. I think all of us could start rejoicing who have experienced the Lord. I would like to tell you something. One day people came to me. Both were unbelievers. One of them was a backslider. And when we started to play the tape with the songs, then the man started running away and he ran out of the apartment. Why? You see, that's how it is. It separates. Where the Lord is not, there is darkness, there is the devil, and there one is offended and takes flight. But we do not need to take flight, but we rally around His word. And we know it is something precious to us. May God continue to bless us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 4. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the Church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. When we read such a word of God, it goes through our marrow and bone. Paul, an apostle of the Lord, wants to give clarification about what God has purposed and realized before all times. But he could only do that because it had been revealed to him himself. He no longer sat at the feet of Gamaliel, but at the feet of Jesus Christ, of whom it is written that he is the mystery of God. And in him are hidden and also revealed all the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Both hidden to the unbeliever, revealed to the believer. For so it is. Paul writes in one place, probably in 2 Corinthians 4, if the gospel that we preach is hidden, then only to those who are lost, because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. But to those who believe, the light has dawned on them in the darkness. Paul has been able to give enlightenment to the believers in that time about the realization of the mystery of God. If he could be in our midst today as such a man of God, he would do the same. Perhaps there will have been people at that time who might have said, Paul, you want to give clarification about things that God purposed before the foundation of the world? Yes, because God has revealed it. And when God reveals something, we can proclaim it. The whole plan of salvation is a revelation of God, and one revelation entails another. And the thought came to me when the several scriptures were read out, whether we in this place hear these things, affirm them, believe them from the heart, this on the one hand, but on the other hand, whether we have experienced God in such a way that all this can become our life and spirit. There is a big difference if we only hear things and examine them, affirm them, or if we have had an experience with God. You all know, we are very grateful to God for the powerful revelation of his word. But brothers and sisters, I did not say this only at the funeral. It can be said everywhere. Only he who has received eternal life can live forever. And eternal life is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No one can say, I believe the word revealed by God, and thus I will be there. But eternal life must be in us. You will say, Brother Frank, but we have experienced a conversion and so forth. But that is exactly the point we want to touch on. Whether we have experienced God in such a way that we know exactly his Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. This is what we heard in the word of introduction. His Spirit bears witness to our spirit. Not that we have to tell ourselves anything. It must come to the point that when we would still doubt ourselves, that the Spirit of God bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. Not that we have to help, but that the Spirit of God could bear witness to our spirit in such a way that there would no longer be anything uncertain, but such a certainty that the enemy could no longer steal anything from us, but that we would know once and for all we have experienced God, and we have received eternal life. Our guilt and our sin is atoned for. Oh, I think it's not just me. We long to experience God anew. And all the tribulations that come upon us, and even they do nothing else but make bend our knees before the Lord. And not only our knees, but our hearts, our whole being, our whole mind, that we might be bowed before the Almighty, that He might reveal Himself anew in our lives, yes, that He might revive His people. In this context here, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians that he wanted to give clarification about the meaning of the realization of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the Church the manifold wisdom of God. You all know, God has found in the Church the place in which He can reveal Himself. There is no place that we can name. No one can say, in Jerusalem is worshipped or on the Holy Mount. It is worshipped there where people come together in the name of the Lord and hear His word and believe it. There is worship in spirit and in truth. There is no need to make a pilgrimage to some so-called holy city or place. But there where God speaks to us, we have arrived at the holy place. And there, whether on the mountain or in the valley, does not matter, but the place where God talks with us, it is there where we are penetrated by the Spirit of Truth. And that is what most do not want to have. There are enough believers who walk around with a spirit of lies. They can't stand the truth. They are afraid of the truth. I'm not just saying that. And when Paul in that time writes here in chapter 4, he not only gives enlightenment about the mystery that was hidden in God, the Creator, but he also explains how the believers can come to know all this. And then he says here in chapter 4 from verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This here, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We have already gone through this word here, but Paul then goes on to say that he writes to such people, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Even believers must be told. Therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So it is not only a matter of coming together and saying, yes, we are gladly willing to be informed about the realization of God's plan of salvation, as He revealed it to His servants, the apostles and prophets. But we must also be ready to listen to the exhortation that Paul, guided by the Spirit, has to give unto all of us, not just to those who are not here, but to us who are here tonight. And if there were not so much lying among believers, things would be different. And many have not been able to accept the truth, because they not only lie, but they have the spirit of lies. And insofar as they listen to the truth, then they turn everything upside down. If you tell them about God and make it clear to them on the basis of the scriptures that God has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and so forth, and then they walk away and still say they no longer believe in the Father and the Holy Spirit, they only believe in Jesus. Have you heard that before? That's how it is. They hear exactly what is being said, but they go away and say not what they have heard and not what has been said. They say something totally different, namely what the spirit of falsehood dictates to them. Otherwise, they have a memory. They can tell you what was in Russia or in Siberia. 25 or 30 years later, they can still tell you that. But they can drive away from Krefeld and have only driven 20 or 50 or 100 kilometers. They no longer know what was said. They no longer know what was said. What Khrushchev said, they still know. But what was said here from the Word of God, they no longer know. And why not? Because they do not have the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth, however, will receive, appreciate, and rejoice in the truth as if we had been granted the greatest fate on earth that can ever be granted to a human being. And such biblical truths cannot be distorted or presented differently, but as they are told to us in the Word of God and presented in the Word of God, that is how we receive them. But right in this, it becomes obvious. We only have to go back to the times of Jesus, how they always told him something. And Brother Schwill has already mentioned it. After the truth in person was in their midst, then they said, "What is truth? What is truth?" Thereby the truth in person was there, who could say of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Who was it? "Lord, show us the way, where we should go." The way was there. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Brothers and sisters, it is indeed possible to speak of pious things without having direct connection with what God is really doing. And therefore, here in this place, let there be no pious talk. Here God shall come to his right. And then it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, no matter in which form and in what kind, but everything must be put away, and we must speak the truth with our neighbor. That is our duty. Nothing must be said in another way than as it is proper before the Lord." Then it goes on to say, "For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." This too must not be. There must be no anger, and let the sun not go down on it. A child of God will make an effort. Yes, not only that, but the Spirit of God will convince. And I tell you the truth, only God can do that in our lives, that we do not impute anything evil when something comes along our way, no matter in what form, that we simply say, "Lord, forgive the brother or sister or anyone, for they don't know what they are doing. Forgive them." You don't take things in first and build them up and up and up until it becomes an avalanche and you sin. But you bring everything to the Lord. You lay it down before him, and then he will make it well to the praise of his name. Be angry. In itself, a believer cannot be angry directly, for it says, "Be angry and sin not." And we know that the wrath of man does not do what is right before God. If a man is somehow carried away to be angry, and to be angry is something different than to be angry, because if someone is angry, then he is angry. Well, be that as it may, but all this is not to be in the life of a believer. It must come to the point that the new man is revealed in us and on us. Come what may. The scripture says, put off the old man and be renewed. We are to be made in the image of God, in true righteousness and holiness. But this is also what we have heard. The spirit resists the flesh, and the flesh resists the spirit. But if we let ourselves be led by the Spirit of God, we will accomplish that which is spiritual. And we, as children of God, will be a blessing for one another. Nothing will be more important to us than only this: O God, give me an experience with you, such an experience with you, that my inner life, the life of the Spirit, simply blossoms. Hours of tribulation are hours of reflection. Not that we should feel sorry for ourselves or anyone else. That is not what is meant. But we can look into the mirror of the Word. And when then God shows us something, that we take it to heart and bring it under the cross and know that He gives grace. I wish for myself, I wish for all of us, a new experience with God in such a thorough way that we would no longer have to be helped, but that we would all be helped, that we could experience God in such a way that there would not be a single one in our midst who only perhaps takes things cognitively into himself, but that everything in our heart could become a living revelation of the Spirit. Not only to say yes, but God should be able to say His Amen to it, in that we have an encounter with Him and experience Him anew. I hope you know what we mean, what we are talking about. In all revival meetings, no matter at what time, there were no phlegmatic conversions. There were no things with a head, but with a heart. Today, when a person today thinks he has something to confess, and then he considers and thinks about when he should confess it, and then he postpones it, and then he thinks again whether he should do it at all, whether it makes sense or not. Do you know what the Bible says? Have you ever read how it was in Samaria? When the Word of God was preached, the people blatantly confessed their doings. And it says, they brought together the magic books and made a fire. It was not a conversion by understanding or consideration that was made. But here was the sermon. The Spirit had taken hold of them. They confessed. They asked no longer a priest, nothing like that. God had spoken to them. They settled their accounts. They did a whole thing. Today, we consider who knows how long, and then it has long since left us again, and we don't know how to move forward. May God come upon us in such a way, through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. I am not saying that anyone here should now begin to tell everything, but if there is something that troubles us, as it was for those in Samaria, that they were seized by the Spirit of God under the preaching of the Word of God, and it says they openly confessed their sins and have told their previous doings and got things together, and immediately they cleaned up. And already it happened that even the sorcerer himself was converted. How is another matter, but his business was finished, for then God had His business, a whole thing. Brothers and sisters, if God is to do a thing in our midst, then it is a whole thing. And with half things, we will have grief and sorrow all our lives. But when we allow God to do a whole thing, then all sorrow stops, then all sorrow ceases, then there is something new. We clean up the old, and even if it goes up in fire and flames, we clean it up. But there you can count on it. Just as God was mightily present at that time, it was something thorough. And that's what we all need, brothers and sisters, something so thorough, nothing superficial, but thorough. And if anyone should not be delivered from anything or whatever may be a hindrance to us, cry it out, whether here or at home, so that we may get rid of it, so that God can reveal Himself. Today it is no longer a question of, oh, I will lose my reputation, or people will look at me askance. Who is anyone and who are we? We have heard it, that the Lord prepares praise for Himself from the mouths of children and infants. Why should He not prepare it out of us, on whom He has done such great things? One must be able to jump over one's own shadow and be moved by God in such a way that everything is the same to you, even if you give away everything of yourself. And if you just know, so now the Spirit of God has taken hold of you, you can no longer go home and consider things. Here at this place, where God talks to us, and he who does not say it aloud, let him say it softly. But let us talk to God and come to the point that the Spirit of God could work on us in such a way that it would simply be made manifest that the sermon, and here we have heard it, that it has a mighty effect, the Word of the Lord. It can only be there where people allow the Word of God to have an effect on them. And not only that, but where the Spirit of the Lord makes the Word come alive in us. Here in this place could be a place where all can live without suspicion and guile, without suspicions, without anything, can worship in spirit and in truth. No one needs to go anywhere else to find a holy place and a holy atmosphere. Here can be a holy place and a holy atmosphere if the Holy One takes hold of us with His holy atmosphere. How many times have you heard it? It is about harmony among the people of God. It is about each one hastening to be able to save his own soul. And as we have already said, what is connected with this belongs together. There is no formula about it. Important is that when the Spirit of God comes upon us, that we don't put it off, but that we actually do it. There, where God has spoken to us, we want to put everything in order and be corrected. Should someone, as we have read, if you are angry, do not sin, whatever is written there, we might think we are over it. I tell you, we are not over it until we have brought it all under the blood of the Lamb. We are sometimes over things for a week or for a day, and already things are not gone. Unless the Holy Spirit has convinced us, and then it's a different matter. There's a big difference between a person saying, "Listen, forgive me, I hurt you." That's one thing. But if someone is under the working of the Holy Spirit and tears come and he is broken and he says, "Lord, have mercy on me. I should not have done this. Forgive me." That's quite a different thing. We can say in the vernacular, we all have manners, or at least we think we have them. There things can be done according to rational consideration. But brothers and sisters, we have heard a word of the Spirit, a word of revelation, a word of power. Here no rational considerations are enough. Here the Spirit of God must be able to work. Here something must happen in truthfulness, in purity, and in holiness to the praise of our Lord. And so the new man is actually put on, for it is written, put on the new man, who after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We as human beings, no matter who we are and what we may have experienced with God, we all become newly convinced under the preaching of the Word. We are all being convicted anew by the Spirit of God, and there is not one of us who can absolve himself. But the Lord is here. He acquits us, but on the basis of the shed blood. He doesn't just acquit and say, you go out free now. The blood speaks for us. And the moment we find ourselves guilty before God, we cannot just say, forgive me. It does not pass by the blood of the Lamb. The blood covers my iniquity and makes me light and white, as the German song goes. The blood of the Lamb cleanses me. That is what matters. That we not only say something, but that we say the right thing in order to experience the right thing. God will be gracious to us. I am convinced of that. You all know, the time in which we live is very serious and very short, and we all want to stand our ground before God. No one should be left behind. We do not need powerful sermons. We need the mighty work of the Holy Spirit in our midst, in such a way that every heart is grasped, broken, so that we can bow before the Lord, and if necessary, also before each other, so that God can raise us up and bless us from the riches of His grace. We have received the Holy Spirit. We are born again, and we can say, Abba, dear Father. And God will be gracious enough to forgive us, to revive us, to bless us anew. Do you all have this desire in your hearts? That God wants to reveal Himself in a mighty way? The way is through submitting. It goes through the depths. It goes through many tribulations and suffering. And why God allows such things to come, you certainly know, namely to make us submit in His presence, to speak to us anew, even to break us. For God dwells in a broken and contrite heart and in a humble spirit. This is what God wants and desires, and that is why I want to let the Spirit of God chastise us and say, Lord, take me as I am, form me, shape me. On that day, everything else will not count as much as the inner transformation of a human being, namely what God has done for us. That is what counts. And we know, if we are children, we are heirs. And yet it is said here to the children of God, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, be ye angry and sin not, and so forth. God wants us to comply with all this, so that His loving kindness may be upon us. Oh, that we could have meetings in which nothing more disturbing is for God. There is nothing disturbing for us. We see and hear nothing. But God sees and God hears more than we see and hear. And therefore, we must be concerned not only to perceive what already catches our eye, but we must ask God to help us. And believe me, here in this place, we have no desire to be involved in anything that deprives us of blessings. Here in this place, we have only one desire, to come together to listen to God's word, not to break a rod over anyone, not to judge anyone in any way, but let each one examine himself, and after that let him eat. We examine ourselves before the face of God and ask Him for mercy and for forgiveness. His blood will wash and cleanse us, and all will be well to the praise and glory of His name. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your holy face. Faithful God, you have given us grace to hear your word. Faithful Master, look upon us in mercy. Look down on us in this hour, in these moments. Faithful Master, you know in what an inner struggle the one or the other is. You know how often doubts take possession of all those who believe. Faithful Master, give us a new revival. O God in heaven, may your precious and holy blood, O Lamb of God, make all harm good. Faithful Lord, complete reconciliation is here through the shed blood. Forgiveness of all iniquity, of all sin. Lord, wash us clean, white like freshly fallen snow. Faithful Master, reveal yourself to us anew. Lord, we want your presence be manifested not only in words, but in deeds. Lord Jesus, bless in our midst. Revive, O God, and where necessary, may our mouths open and speak out when the enemy wants to put something in our way again and again. O Lord, that we may simply speak it out in the place where you have spoken with us. There we will talk with you, faithful Master. O God, we long for you, Lord, my Savior and my Shepherd, who prepared the way of life for us, O Lord. We ask you, make yourself a way here in our midst. May your loveliness be here, O Lord. Your being, your word, your power, O God. Lord, that we don't only understand everything with our mind, but experience it in the heart. O God, we worship you. We give glory to you alone. Faithful Lord Jesus, we pray for us. Yes, for every brother, for every sister. Faithful Master, leave no one alone in his struggle, O Lord, but stand us by. May we hold on you as Jacob held on you back then. May we hold you as he held you, and may we wrestle as he wrestled, that the sun may rise on us as it rose on him. Praise be to your wonderful and glorious name. You cause such things to come upon us, O God, not that we may despair, nor that we may be too joyful, but that we may seek your face, O Lord, that you might reveal yourself anew in the midst of your people. Oh, we pray you, dear Lord, May no one fall short of thy work, O God, but grasp what can be grasped. We thank you, O God, and if it is possible and in your will, O God, give us such meetings as at that time in Samaria, where a whole work is being done, and where the devil's handiwork is being stopped, and where it can be revealed that the victory of Golgotha is not only in words, but in deeds, that all the enemies are made your footstool. O God in heaven, we praise you and we worship you, Lord. Have mercy on us all. We thank you for it and praise your precious and holy blood. Hallelujah. To your name. Amen.